The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, on this 28th day of February, the last day, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Even though it's kind of weak tonight. And tonight we have with us the sentry of the board, none other than the mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor and Pastor Joe.
And we have, that's right, the Backroads Parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
That highly unpaid professional assistant is here once again.
And I just want to tell the folks out there that, as obviously you've known that I missed some days, I've been hit with the Fauci flu, you know, and everybody's talking about what a villain Putin is compared to Fauci and Gates and Soros. Putin's an angel, okay? And so for the evil, the wickedness those men have done. But anyhow, I want to
look at the death from COVID and you know, who supplied the money for all the research on the coronavirus? Although I hate to say it, but more people have died needlessly from this pandemic because of what America did and what America did not do.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because the U.S. Embassy just removed all of their Ukraine bioweapon lab documents from the website. But guess what? We still have copies of that. And the Pentagon BioLab in Ukraine exposed performing biological experiments on the local soldiers. And we'll talk about that maybe later. But now, just let me talk, Joe. I wanted to just tell the folks out there, thank you for all of you. Thanks for all the cards, the Get Well cards. I really appreciate it. And thank you for all of your prayers. I appreciate that. And I've got a pretty severe case of the Fauci flu. Now, because of that, all of you that have had that know that you can become fatigued, like very quickly. Very quickly you can become fatigued. And so I'm going to go as long as I can, but I might not go very long tonight on this program and leave it in the capable hands of Pastor Joe and Chaplain John McTernan's, the two of you. So with that, and I wanted to make a couple quick, and please, I've got all the medical advice I can handle. I don't need any more medical advice, please. It's coming out of the woodwork, and folks, I appreciate it, but I've got all that I could possibly use. And so with that, Joe, I wanted to say that, what did I want to say? This is the bad thing about this stuff. It's bad. Anyhow, well, let's get into the Bible study. We're in here, Joshua chapter 1, Joe.
You wanted to just tell people thanks for all the prayers, and I wanted to tell the folks to keep on praying for you. And we believe in that power of prayer, and for all those others that are sick with this COVID, pray for them.
Yeah, Joe, they're dying left and right, either from the COVID and twice as many from the vaccine. Well, it's not a vaccine at all, the bioweapon. Twice as many are dying. And one of these days, when our society wakes up to that, Joe, you know, we America is a nation standing in the shadow of a holy and an angry God. America has, she's just turned her back on God. She's becoming more and more corrupt by the day. And I have to laugh because I remember I'd hearing Putin say that he doesn't want the Russian people to become acclimated to the vulgarity of the West, the Western style. In other words, the sodomy, the abortion, all of this, he said, is what they want to keep. Now, here's Putin. Remember, and here's a guy that's, you know, one thing him and Hillary had in common was that people that got in their way went away. They got disappeared, you know, you might say. And so he was known for disappearing people. But at least he had enough integrity, if you call it that, to say, you know, that what we have in America, the adultery, the abortion, the sodomy, the bestiality, all of the things that the Democratic Party stands for, is not what the Russian people want. And anyhow, with that, Joe, why don't we start in Joshua chapter 1. And so here, let me give a little bit of a lead into this. As we go into the book of Joshua as it opens, the Israelites they're camping along the east bank of the Jordan River, at the very edge of the Promised Land. I know that area. And they're completing mourning for Moses at this time, who had just died. And, of course, you read that in Deuteronomy 34, verses 7 and 8. Now, 39 years, Joe, earlier, after spending a year at Mount Sinai receiving God's law for an entire year, the Israelites had an opportunity to enter into the Promised Land. But they failed to trust God to give them victory. And as a result, God did not allow them to enter into the land, but made them wander in the wilderness until the disobedient generation had died. You know, boy, and you know, what America makes Israel that time, I think, with our sin, probably makes it look like Boy Scouts. But anyhow, during their wilderness wanderings, Joe, the Israelites obeyed God's laws. They also taught the new generation to obey God's laws so that they might enter into the Promised Land. And, of course, they called that Promised Land Canaan, didn't they?
Yes.
So as the children grew, they were often reminded that faith and obedience to God brought victory, while unbelief and disobedience brought tragedy. Boy, is America about to find that out in spades. And when the last of the older generation had died and the new generation had become adults, the Israelites prepared to make their long-awaited claim, Joe, on that Promised Land. So why don't you start and read through verses 1 through 5.
Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
Yeah, Joe, now, here Joshua is leading 2 million people. 2 million people into that land. And you talk about a responsibility. Can you imagine, I mean, what that would be like? But if God is with you, who can be against you, huh?
Right. That's what God reminds us very strongly.
Well, you know, today, as we take a look at this, we see here as you pick it up in verse 6 where he says, be strong and of good courage. Boy, do we need, people need to grab onto that here, don't they?
Amen. They do. We've got, the world is terrified right now, all over the world.
Yeah, they are, and they should be, because they've turned their back on their God.
Yep.
And they've turned their back, and again, America is standing in the shadow of a most holy and an angry God.
And the scriptures say, I can't quite remember the quote, but something about it is a fearsome thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
Fearful.
Fearful.
Yeah, it is it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand. And that's exactly what America's about to do. And, you know, we can preach and preach and preach, but so often our preaching falls on deaf ears. But we must continue to preach. For those few that will hear, that will hear and listen to it. But go ahead and pick it up in verse 6.
Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do accordingly, according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success.
Well, Joe, you know, here, many people think the prosperity and success comes from having power, influential personal contacts, and a relentless desire to get ahead. But the strategy for gaining prosperity that God taught Joshua goes against such criteria. Mm-hmm. The strategy that he gave Joshua was simply this, what?
Obey,
right.
Obey the law.
Constantly read, study God's word, and success comes from obedience.
Yeah, exactly, which the world has not learned. It's such a simple lesson. It's all through Scripture.
Yep. And so, go ahead and pick it up.
Cut one comment I wanted to throw in up there where it talked about on verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. The Israeli, the group that does the archaeology has found large stone footprints, different places, and they say everywhere it looked like where Joshua came over the river and they camped different places, they have these large, very large footprints with a stone circle, and inside had been an altar. And I think those are the footprints that said, well, everywhere that your sole of your foot shall tread, that's the land I'll give you. And they're finding these all over places in Israel. I just thought it was fabulous that here again, well, it's the, you know, we've got the Bible proving archaeology, you know, ahead of time, telling them that they were there. So I wanted to add that. I thought it was interesting. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them.
Well, you know, Joe, let me jump in, because see that during that previous year, the tribes of Reuben and Gad, remember, and half the tribe of Manasseh, had asked Moses if they could settle just east of the promised land. Now, the area was excellent pasture and land for the large flocks, and but Moses agreed to give them the land on one condition, that they help their fellow tribes enter and conquer the land. Now,
right.
Only after the land was conquered could they return to their homes. Now it was the time for these three tribes to live up to their agreement. So let's go ahead, let's see what they did.
He actually says, pass before your brethren armed.
Yeah.
So they're not just going to go fight, they're going to lead the fight, right?
Well, yeah, supposedly, yep.
Oh, that's what it says.
Yeah, that's what they... Remember, they've got a history of not quite doing what they promised.
Yeah. Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy word, and all that thou hast commanded him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.
Well, you see here now, they had kind of learned a pretty severe lesson, didn't they? I mean,
wandering in the wilderness till everybody died. I'd say that was a pretty severe lesson.
Well, it wasn't everybody. Everybody over the age of 20. Died. And those were the leaders, and they... Now, you know, I mean, just think about that. You know, you're out there and you're seeing all these peace, kind of like what's happening here today. Every time I turn around, I'm preaching a funeral. But are they learning that God means what he says?
Right here would sound like they figured it out for a while. They catch on for a while, and then when they get prosperous, they seem to forget all the lessons.
Yep. Well, here, let's go and pick it up in verse 2, or chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came in unto a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, today... In America, especially in the high schools, in the colleges, I remember when you and I went to school, and back in the days of high school, there were maybe three girls in the entire school who were known to be whores, that were having sex, non-virgins. Today, you probably can't find three that are virgins in the high schools today. I mean,
well, the joke was going around, what's the definition of a virgin, an ugly 12-year-old?
Yeah, well...
Unfortunately, it's not funny, but that's the change in society.
Yep. And they went and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel searching out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are coming to thee, who are entered into thine house, for they have come to search all of the country. Now, let me ask you, Joe, What do you think would have been the punishment of Rahab and her family in those days had she been caught, and that would be considered committing treason?
Yeah, well, it would have been off with their heads, and it would not have been a long, drawn-out trial. It would have been taken to the public square and hanged, beheaded, you know, something.
No, it wouldn't have been, yeah.
Sudden and bad.
Well, yeah, it was, yeah, in those days. So this woman, she had courage. I mean, I wish... You know, half the pastors in this country had the courage of Rahab.
No, it wasn't just her. She had, and as we see here, she had family there.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole point.
It wasn't just her life. She was risking all of the lives there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It took a lot of courage. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came unto me men unto... came in unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, and when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up on the roof of the house, and had hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order to order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Why don't you pick it up?
All right. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye uttered not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, go ye to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come unto the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of this thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us.
Okay, Joe. Okay, Putin going into the Ukraine even tonight as he's battling. So what was that called when he invaded the Ukraine? They called it an act of aggression?
Yeah, I call it an act of war, but they called it an act of aggression, yes.
Okay, so now here, when God sent Joshua into Canaan and Israel, was that called an act of aggression?
Well, not to God's people. That was being obedient to God, but it was, they were the aggressors going in to take the promised land that God had given them.
Yeah, well, see, but God had told them earlier why they were going to do that. They were going to, if they're, this was an act of judgment.
An act of judgment. They were the, yeah, I was just saying to the people that they were attacking, it was one thing. To them, they were obeying God, and it was God's judgment they were bringing.
All righty. We're going to a break. We'll be back right after this.
Israel, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who gather. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold, and for your iron I'll give you silver, and for your brass I'll give you gold. Awake, America,
awake, America.
Rise from your slumber,
rise from your slumber,
and the truth shall
set you free.
Hosanna. From out of Zion
hallelujah
comes your Redeemer. In the year of Jubilee, in the year of Jubilee,
hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah.
back. And I wanted to say this real quick. Tomorrow, there for you folks in the Cleveland area, Northeast Ohio, the missionaries to the preborn, those from doers of the word church mostly, those that are the really first responders, they're going to be out in front of that the biggest bloody abortion mill in Ohio. They're called Preterm. It's a real whorehouse of death. And our people will be out there at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, and from 8:30 to 10:30, saving babies. And it's not an easy job, but it's a job that needs to be done. And they could use some help. And it's 12,000 Shaker Boulevard, the eastbound lane. 12,000 Shaker Boulevard, the eastbound lane, folks. And it's right in between 116th Street and 122nd Street. And so, again, 12,000 Shaker Boulevard, the eastbound lane. Heroes of the faith. These are modern-day heroes of the faith, people that they give their all. Praise God that we still have some left. And so now, Big John, are you with us?
I'm with you, Pastor Ernie.
All righty. John, I'm going to play a clip. And this is a guy, he's a Westerner, American, I believe, and he's in Ukraine. And he's been watching and keeping an eye and doing an in-depth kind of intelligence reporting. Now, I want you to know that this was done Saturday night, and I know things during the time of war change real quick. But I want you guys to listen to this and then afterwards comment, because I know you've been keeping up. You and Joe both have been keeping up to what's going on. We did talk a little bit about the Pentagon biolab in the Ukraine. Boy, our military has become so corrupt, unbelievable. But anyhow, so we're going to go ahead and play that, and then you guys comment. Now, I might not be here when this clip's over with, because I'm getting fatigued fairly fast. With thank you, Mr. Fauci. So,
well,
pardon?
We're going to keep you in prayer. Why don't you get some rest, and Big John and I can handle this, and we'll just ask the people to keep you daily in prayer, and we'll have you back on your feet in no time.
Yeah, I'm planning on getting back. I'm no way am I going to let the Fauci flu take me out.
I got to be
back here to. It ain't over with till we win, huh, fellas?
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Ernie, I want to thank you. I was able to speak last night. I spoke on the Blessed Hope.
Yeah,
and,
thanks.
If no one else was blessed, I was. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm sorry that you weren't able to make it, but thank you that I could fill in for you.
Well, I really appreciate you guys stepping up for me and all of the folks at the Doers of the Word Church that have really come forward and all the cards I've gotten, you know. I was telling my wife, you know, it's really a blessing, you know, at our age, you know, older folks like us, that we have so many people that are watching out for us, and when there's so many people that don't have anybody. And right now, Andre Magruder is languishing in a hospital there in Columbus, in a prison hospital. And Andre, I talked to him, he's kind of losing it a little bit mentally. I can understand why, but he doesn't have anybody. He's got me as his next of kin, and he's got stage 4 cancer. And here's a fellow that's had a terrible, horrible childhood, but over all of these years, he's had our church and our ministry as his people. And so, and we've been there to watch out for him. Andre's a 75-year-old Christian, and they put a Satanist, a young Satanist, in his cell. And Andre told him he didn't want this guy in there. The guy was a Satanist, and the guy threatened to kill him, but they wouldn't pull him out. And then, when Andre was sound asleep, he attacked him and tried to bash his skull in. And so, now he, you know, so that's why they took him to the hospital. When they got him there, they found out he had stage 4 cancer, pancreatic cancer. But anyhow, you know, so we're really blessed that we have people, we have friends. It's, you know, and, you know, I guess you'll do that if If you're there for others, they'll be there for you.
Alrighty. And then also, folks, remember being a born-again believer, he has the Lord, and when you have the Lord, you have all you need. And the Lord provided a church and a ministry to be his family. Yeah. And we all just need to keep Andre in prayer, and that the good Lord's calling him home.
Yeah.
He's going to wake up in a wonderful, wonderful place, and all the pain of this world will be gone forever.
Yep. Joe, we got to play the clip because we're running out of time. Go ahead and play the clip, Andy.
So today is Saturday, February 26th, and it's the third day of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. Now, the people in the United States do not seem to understand what is going on insofar as Russia's invasion is concerned, because they keep saying that Russia is failing, which is the weirdest comment. Russia is failing because Russia hasn't taken out the infrastructure of Ukraine, hasn't hit the electrical grid, hasn't destroyed the cell phone towers or the water supply or something like that. It's just remarkable. They keep insisting that the Russians seem to advance and then retreat whenever they meet any resistance. And it's just a failure of imagination on the part of so many American commentators that they do not seem to understand what Russia is really doing with this invasion. Because, you see, the American mode of war is to go to a country and destroy everything. Destroy the electrical grid, cell towers, the water supply system, everything. Just destroy the whole thing and then roll in. That's not fighting a war. That's just mopping up the total annihilation of a country. And the United States has done this repeatedly in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, or they semi-tried to do it in Syria. I mean, it's really kind of like a despicable way of making war, right? But what are the Russians doing? Well, see, the Russians, they don't want to destroy Ukraine. No, they don't want to destroy it at all. What they want to do is they want to capture it. Intact. See? They don't want to hurt the civilians. Why would they? From their point of view, if they harm civilians, they just create enemies. And so they want to capture Ukraine, change the political leadership of Ukraine, and install a political leadership that is sympathetic to Russia's security needs and is going to be a long-term ally. But they don't want to alienate the Ukrainian population. Because if they alienate the Ukrainian population, well, the Ukrainian population will eventually overthrow this puppet regime. And the Russians want to install a puppet regime. Let's not pretend otherwise. But they want to install a puppet regime whereby the Ukrainian citizens are more or less indifferent to it. They don't want to install a puppet regime after having made the lives of Ukrainians so miserable. So that's why they don't want to destroy Ukraine or harm the Ukrainian populace. They want to capture Ukraine intact, change the political leadership, and then let it go. Of course, because they don't want to manage Ukraine. They don't want it to be a burden on them. They don't want that long term. And so what are they doing? They are rapidly invading the whole country, and everybody concedes that they're moving very, very quickly. But they're not hitting any civilian infrastructure. They're only hitting military targets. And they are relentless in hitting the military targets, but always with a certain degree of caution. And I'll explain why in just a moment. But they're hitting military targets. They are avoiding civilian populations and civilian infrastructure. And when they go to a city or a destination, when they encounter any resistance from the Ukrainian army, any serious resistance, they stop and pull back. Because what are they doing? They are encircling. That's their whole strategy. And it's very simple. And if you look at a map, you'd realize it. What the Russians are doing is that whenever they go to a major city like Kiev, like Kharkov, and soon enough they're going to be in Dnipro, when they get to those cities, they go up to those cities and they meet some resistance and then they pull back. and they allow their forces to start to surround it. And that's the strategy they're employing in Kiev. That's the strategy that they're employing in Kharkov. They are encircling these cities, and once they've completely encircled them, what will they do? They'll wait. That's what they'll do. See, if you surround a city, all you have to do is just wait around. Eventually, it'll fall, of course. And so the Russians are systematically surrounding all of the major cities. And whenever they come across a smaller town or village, they just advance and cover it and capture it and move on and continue with their advance. Whenever they meet any kind of serious resistance, they stop, pull back, and then encircle. One of the things that they want to capture intact, and people don't seem to realize this, but it's very obvious if you think about it, they are trying to capture the Ukrainian army. That's not why there hasn't been any major battles with, you know, hundreds or thousands of casualties. It's been light skirmishes. For all intents and purposes, the Russian army is tiptoeing into Ukraine. Insofar as air power is concerned, the Russians in the first 3 hours wiped the Ukrainian skies of everything. The Russians own the Ukrainian skies. Any plane flying is Russian. But insofar as their army is concerned, this isn't World War II. This isn't a World War II where the Russian armies were kissing cousins of the Mongol hordes. You know what I'm saying? No, this is the modern Russian army that has the goal of capturing intact Ukraine and the Ukrainian army. Because the Russians realize that once they have captured Ukraine and changed the political leadership, they will need an army to protect and look after the Ukrainian state and the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian land. They don't want to destroy the Ukrainian army. They could do that if they wanted to. They would have done that already. They own the skies over Ukraine. Their goal is to capture Ukraine, capture the Ukrainian army with as little casualties as possible to the Ukrainian army. And that's why whenever they come up against serious Ukrainian resistance, they keep consistently pulling back. And in the West, this is interpreted as the Russians are weak, which is so weird. It's like the Russians are so weak, they're not advancing as fast. I mean, well, that is a separate issue that I'm going to get to in just a moment. But the Russians are so weak because they're not obliterating the Ukrainian army. Because that's what the Americans do. They obliterate anything that crosses their path. Friend or foe, they don't really care. But the Russians do care. That's why they're not obliterating the Ukrainian army when they could. A friend of mine, Alex Christoforou, and the Duran, great show, he pointed out something that I'd never considered, which is very obvious. He pointed out the fact that, you see, the current Ukrainian leadership in the military, the generals in Ukraine, they went to military academies with the generals of the Russian armies. They're drinking buddies since when they were back in like 18-year-old, 19-year-old plebes. They know each other. They don't want to kill each other. Of course not. I mean, you've got some buddy when you were drinking out when you were 18, right? You want to kill him? No. You could be on opposing sides of whatever contest, but you don't want to hurt him. Of course not. You'll be pissed off at him maybe, but you don't want to kill him. The Russian army doesn't want to destroy the Ukrainian army. They could have done it already in these 3 days of combat. Once the Russians owned the skies over Ukraine, they could have done whatever they wanted with the Ukrainian army. They could have annihilated it, just blown it to smithereens, and blown away the entire population of Ukraine if they wanted to. They could cause a major, major humanitarian crisis if they wanted to, and they obviously don't. How do I know this? Because they haven't done it. They have had the opportunity for 3 days to do it, and they haven't done it. I'm doing this stupid video from a hotel room in downtown Kiev, and I'm going to upload it to the internet. Do you think I'd be able to do it if the Russians were really serious about conquering Ukraine? They want to capture it. Understand that. And understand that you in the West, you are being goaded into thinking that Putin and the Russians are like evil antichrist. You don't understand why the Russians are invading. And your political leadership, Boris Johnson, Joe Biden, all these people, they don't want you to understand. Of course not. They want you to just demonize, just to take the easy way out. They want you to imagine that this is a Marvel comic book movie and that, you know, there are white hats and black hats, good guys and bad guys. Yeah, we got to kill the bad guys because we're the good guys. Yeah. It's so naive. The Russians don't want to harm Ukraine. They would have destroyed Ukraine if they wanted to. But they don't. They want to capture it in one piece. Now, you can say that Russia's motivations are this, that, the other. It doesn't matter. You have to look at the practical reality that is taking place now. What really bothers me, and perhaps this isn't a wise thing for me to say while I'm still in Ukraine under the Zelensky regime. What really bothers me is that the Zelensky regime has no trouble causing a humanitarian crisis. In fact, they welcome a humanitarian crisis. They would love to see dead Ukrainians. And I know this for a fact. And do you know how I know this for a fact? Because the Zelensky government has been handing out AK-47s willy-nilly to the civilian population. As I understand it, they've already handed out 10,000 AK-47s and munitions to match. Now, you see, if you've never had any kind of military experience, you, with a weapon like that, you can become extremely dangerous to all the people around you and to yourself. It takes training to operate a firearm. You have to know what you're doing. It's not a casual thing, okay? It's not like in the movies. It's very, very dangerous. And you can harm yourself before you harm anybody else. And the harm you can cause to others is, you know, it's incalculable and you can't take it back. Now, the Zelensky regime is handing out these weapons, teaching people how to use Molotov cocktails, how to make Molotov cocktails and use them as themselves. They want to foment the people to fight the war against the Russians. And the thing is, see, the Russians have professional soldiers. Now, these professional soldiers, you know, they carry a weapon. They know what to do with the weapon. If they see somebody armed, be it a man in a uniform or just a civilian with an AK-47, well, they're going to shoot him, okay? And so that civilian will be dead, and that will present a great photo op now, won't it? So that Zelensky can wrangle some European country or the Americans or whomever to come in and get involved in this war and potentially escalate the situation to levels that are unimaginable. The Zelensky regime is doing something, frankly, evil, because it is evil to put civilians, to encourage civilians to do something that incredibly dangerous and irresponsible. The Zelensky regime has also put heavy weaponry in civilian population centers. Now, these heavy weapons, howitzers and whatnot, they're dangerous. And so the Russian army has every right and obligation to destroy such heavy weapons. But of course, when trying to destroy such weapons, it's inevitable that you're not going to quite hit the weapons when you try to aim for them. You're going to hit around the weapons. And therefore, if these weapons are in the middle of apartment complexes, you're going to have Russians shelling apartment complexes, killing innocent civilians. The Zelensky regime is putting these weapons in the middle of populated areas precisely because they want to have this happen. And I'll tell you something else that the Zelensky regime is doing. They are forcibly conscripting men between the ages of 18 and 60. They are not allowing them to leave the country, and if they try to leave the country, they are arrested and forcibly conscripted. That is, forcibly put into the Ukrainian army. Now, what has happened because of this? Well, just about every man between the ages of 18 and 60 is running away from the cities. That's why there are so many refugees. It's not that they're seriously thinking that the Russians are going to shell and destroy their apartments or their homes or whatnot. They're afraid of getting arrested and forcibly conscripted. The women and the young children and old men are having to hide these men who are between the ages of 18 and 60. And by the way, this isn't something that I heard. People that I know personally, people that I do business with, I know them. I know them. I've gone drinking with them, eating with them, doing deals with them. They've had to leave Kiev for fear of being forcibly pressed into the Ukrainian army. Middle-aged men, farts like me, who are out of shape, you know, we're real good at some business deal, but crappy at carrying a backpack and a weapon with no experience whatsoever in such activity. Mm-hmm. And the Ukrainian government, the Zelensky regime, is doing this. And why do you think they're doing it? Well, first of all, you don't forcibly conscript men into your army if you think that you're winning. Now, do you? Of course not. Number one. And number two, by having this forcible conscription, you scare all the men and you create, all on your own, a whole class of refugees, of people fleeing the cities. They're not afraid of the Russians. They're afraid of the Ukrainian regime that is trying to press them into service. That's what's going on. And so you see all the video images of people fleeing the city, and you in the West, you in the United States and Western Europe think, oh, they're afraid of the Russians. No, they're afraid of the Zelensky regime. But I have to say that the issue of handing out weapons to civilians who don't know how to handle them, that is the thing I find most despicable. Because they are willing to have these poor civilians who know nothing of weaponry become martyrs. Because the Russian soldiers who see some civilian with a gun, well, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to shoot him. And that innocent civilian who doesn't even know how to hold the damn weapon is going to die needlessly for nothing, for absolutely nothing. And I find that despicable. I find that truly evil. Also, the Zelensky regime can get a nice photo op. That's what's going on. And if you want to say that the message I'm saying is pro-Russian or pro-Putin or I'm a Putin stooge or useful idiot or whatever, fine. I don't care. I mean, I don't really care your opinion, man. I'm telling you the truth. I'm here. I'm here in Kiev, in the downtown, waiting for the Russians to invade the damn place, huh? So I know what I'm talking about. None of this stuff is appearing in the mainstream media now, is it? Huh? Because I'm not following the American or European mainstream media because I know it's just a pack of lies. But probably what I'm saying in this video, you haven't heard it. Well, now you're hearing it. Hmm? And think a little bit, huh? I mean, in this channel, what have I always told you? Huh? Think for yourself. Think. Look at the information that you have available and ask yourself why something is happening the way it's happening. It's not arbitrary. It's not by chance. People have thought through what they are doing. The Russians have certainly thought through what they're doing.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.